You know, speaking of Oral Roberts and seeing the great mighty thing that he did out of his zeal, and speaking of Jimmy Swaggart and seeing the great thing that he has done out of his zeal, and T.L. Osborne and Billy Graham and Jim Baker on PTL and Pat Robinson on 700 Club, seeing all these great mighty things that different people has accomplished. Men like Shakarian, the Full Gospel business organization that he has set up around the world. It's really astounding. It's nothing less than astounding. These men have done great and mighty things. And to think that these men that I made mention of still hasn't carried the Full Gospel. I preach for the Full Gospel businessmen, and I know they say that's Full Gospel, but it's not Full Gospel. They don't carry the Full Gospel. And to think that these men have not carried the Full Gospel, they've not really done the full will and pleasure of God, and yet with what they've had, they have literally astounded the world. Not just America, but these men have astounded the world. Men like Rex Humbart. These people have astounded the world. And here you and I are with the Full Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, on the radio, Chuck, when he speaks of Little Bethlehem, the people here and the message of Little Bethlehem, he speaks of it as the only true message or full gospel message in the world today. That's the way he announces it. I didn't ask him to do that. That's the way they announce it. The only one that's going forth in the world today. Now, I just said that to say this, that if this really is the true gospel and the true word of God, then it looks like that we would have more diligence toward it. Let me encourage you not to be like that in the vision that I saw. Don't do that. Shake yourself. I mean really genuinely shake yourself and come to the front for God. And it doesn't matter what you're doing, leave it alone. It doesn't matter what you're doing in life, leave it alone and follow God and let God take care of the other. Anything that you're doing, you need to make it second and put God first. That should be a secondary thing in your life. Feeding your family, I don't care who tells you that you should pay your bills and feed your family. Before you do something for God, you remember they are a liar, and the biggest kind of a liar. If you don't seek God and follow God, you're not going to be able to feed your family. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all of these other things will be added unto you. When you seek the welfare of your family and paying bills and keeping a good name and a position in life or whatever you desire or to educate your children, you are a foolish person. There couldn't be a more foolish person. In the first place, you're going down to Egypt for your help and you're leaning on the arm of flesh. That's the first thing you're doing. It is a foolish man and a woman that will sit down and take stock and say, I owe my light bill and I owe my house rent or my house payment. I owe my car payment. I owe this for clothes and this for education and creditors and whatever you might have. That is a foolish person that will do that before they sit down and say, we need a roll of paper over here to publish the gospel. And there's an orphan over yonder that's got to have something to eat. And this widow has got to have help. And we've got to publish the gospel in all the world and go down the line according to what the spiritual man needs. Now, it is not foolish for them that are out there in the land of Esau and them that are out there in the land in the world. It's not foolish for them to go down the line and say, my house rent and my phone bill and these different things. Because this is their world. This is their life. This is all they have. They're beasts. Nothing more than a beast. They're not sons of God. They're not gods. They've never passed from death unto life. They're nothing but human beings or beasts. Even scientists have proved that as to their origin. They're nothing but beasts, and some of them brute beasts made to be taken and burned. But folks, you are of the inner man. You're not of this world. Why then do you do that? The Bible tells us to make provisions for the household of faith. We're supposed to make provisions, Brother Taylor, for the household of faith. How is it then we go the other way? We should sit down and provide for God, provide for the inner man, provide for the things of God. And like Jimmy said up here, the other can wait. And I said, well, bless God, Brother Pike, if you do that, you're going to lose out in the world. I've already lost out in the world. I left the world. The Bible said, come out from among them and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things. And I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, you can't have a good name at the bank to borrow money. I'm not looking for a good name at the bank to borrow money. Did you hear what I said? Everything seemed to have got real. I don't know what happened then. I said, I'm not looking for a good name at the bank so I can borrow money, or a good name so I can have a pocketbook full of credit cards. I traveled before I could borrow money at the bank, and before I had credit cards, I traveled all over the nation by faith in God. People that come out of Egypt didn't have a banker, and they didn't have credit cards, and they didn't have a hospital, and they didn't have a college. And the Bible said their feet never swelled. God met all of their needs, just like he said he'd provide all of your needs according to his riches and glory. He picks you up like he did David, takes you from among the sheepcote, gives you a great name like unto the men of the earth, the great men of the earth, and then you want to lean on that name and go back down to Egypt for your help when God was the one that gave it to you to start with. What we need to do is lean on God, believe in God. Trust in God. All I've ever done, I did it by believing in God. If you want a good name to go to the bank, and you want a good name to get credit cards, and you want a good name to get the things of the world, then trust in God. Who's got a better name than the Lord Jesus Christ? He never did have a college, nor a banker, nor a hospital, nor anything else. Is there a better name in the world today than the name of Jesus Christ? Is there a greater name, precious name, oh how sweet? Hope of earth and the joy of heaven? Are you planning to get a better name than he's got? The Bible said he sought to make of himself no reputation. He didn't try to get on a ball team or be a celebrity or run for president. And yet he's the greatest celebrity in the world. He's the greatest celebrity throughout eternity. He's the greatest leader. Not only a king, but king of kings. He got it all. All he ever did was follow his heavenly Father. And though despised and rejected of men, he is at the very top of all of it. So you see how foolish it is. We run around after these things and seek honor of men and seek prestige of men and try to please men. No matter what you do, they're going to put their finger on you. Like Vince was saying yesterday, he said if you just get just a little bit over due with a payment on your land or whatever, they're right down on you, breathing down your collar, won't let you rest. See, it don't matter about the world. You need to follow Christ. You need to get a vision. You need to turn to the Lord. You need to turn away from the things of the world. You need to quit going down to Egypt for your help. You need to quit being foolish and sit down counting all of these things you've got to pay before you take care of the things of God. Another thing, folks, that you need to remember, and that is this one thing. You are not to wait until you get something to give to God. That is to say, wait until you are able to give to God or do something for God. You're not to wait for that. That is also a very foolish person. And another very foolish person is somebody that says they have to wait till they get inspired to do it. That's another foolish person. See, you got somebody across the street, they're starving to death and they need you to take something over there to feed them. And you say, well, I would, but God ain't spoke to me. You say, I would, but I ain't felt inspired. I'm going to tell you something. You can think of this the way you want to, but the flesh, you'll never get inspired for anything except passions and eating and drinking and frolic and position and money and gullible desire of the world. That's the only inspiration you'll ever get out of the flesh. Because the devil savors the things that be of the world. And it'll take you into hell. It'll take you contrary to the word of God. It'll put you in that old mind of carnality. And you'll find yourself carnal minded. And the Bible said that's death. You'll fight, you'll fuss, you'll bicker, you'll backbite, you'll gossip. You'll do anything contrary to godliness. So then you don't wait to do those things. See, giving to God, you don't wait to give your time to God when you feel good. You give your time to God when you don't feel good. The Bible said be instant in season, out of season. When it's out of season, God wants you to be instant to do His thing. Just like the fig tree, it was out of season. But God cursed it because it didn't give Him some figs. And I said this before, somebody would say, well, that's unfair. That fig tree, God, He went up there, or Jesus went there to get figs, and it wasn't even the season for it. Well, that's unfair for Jesus to curse it. Let me tell you something. If the Lord Jesus Christ made that fig tree, when He come near, ought to put out figs in every little branch it had. It ought to have been so full of figs that never a tree would have borne like that one. Because the God that made it said, give me a fig. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus did that as to an example. He made me. It doesn't matter whether I feel good or not. That's like Moses. Moses got God upset with him. God said, Moses, go down into Egypt and deliver my people. And he said, but I'm slow of speech. God said, who made your mouth, Moses? Who made your tongue? See, and God was upset over it. See, it doesn't matter if I'm sick, if I'm not sick. It doesn't matter if I've got the money, if I haven't got the money. It doesn't matter whether it's in season or out of season. If God tells me in His Word to do something, I must do it. Today, I try to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. I try to do that. We've been traveling for years. Somebody said, you can't do that. I remember how they told me, he said, why you can't do that? I said, well, I'm going to do it anyway by faith. They said, well, it's for sure you can't take your family. I said, well, the other evangelists can run off with women and do whatever they want to, but I'm going to take my family. I said, the Bible said when God brought them out of Egypt, He brought their families with them. When Pharaoh said, let your family stay down here and you go worship, God said the families go too. The wife and the children go too. It's no wonder that the evangelists have so much trouble with their wife and they're always looking for another one. They put her at home. They make her just as carnal and natural as she can be. And then they go out to evangelize, or they go out to be spiritual, and they don't understand what happened to the wife and the children. You see how absurd that thing is? People are perverted in their minds. See, the Bible said if you have a wife, don't seek to be loose from her. You work with her. I tell you these things because we need to understand, folks, so that the devil can't pervert us. Don't wait till you get to where you can do something for God. A lot of people say, well, I'm waiting until I raise up my children. When my children are grown, then, Brother Pike, I'm going to do something for God. I'll tell you what, you better do it now, because you'll have children plus children when you get grandchildren. And you'll wish you'd done it to begin with. You ain't got no problems now. You can tell that little one to shut up and sit down and take a belt and you can go where you want to. But you let them get up here in their teens and tell them to shut up and sit down. And the first news you know, you've got them roaming the street and daughter's done gone and you don't know where she's at. She's done run off from home and Junior's done the same thing. Then you'll wish you'd done something for God while you could have. Well, anyway, so much for that. I'm just telling you. People need to do something for God. And you don't need to come and give $1,000 in the offering or give $20 in the offering today and wait 6 months or 3 weeks before you do something else for God. You don't need to do that. You need to take up your cross daily and follow Christ. The Bible said, and deny yourself daily. And you don't need to give to God out of your abundance as the rich men did when they dropped into the treasury. You need to give of your living like the little widow did and stop counting the phone bill and the cars and all the other things. If you want to catch God's attention and if you want God to notice what you're doing, you're going to have to get down into the meal barrel and you're going to have to take your living and share with God, and that will be an act of faith and God will make yours abundance and to run over. But brethren and sisters, let me tell you something. If you've got to pay on that little new car you got, and you've got to pay on that new home, and you've got to pay on everything else, and take care of everything, when the Bible said all of that is for your belly, and Solomon said all of that labor is for your mouth because it craves it of you, and you got to do all of that, and then you tell me that you're spiritual, and you tell me that you love God. When the early church sold their homes, and they sold everything they had, and done without their living, and took their bread, even as the little widow took it out of the mouth of her son, and gave it to the prophet, and you tell me that we're the early church, well, we'd be slapped out of our minds to think like that. So then what should we do, Brother Pike? Only one thing we can do. And that is deny ourselves daily and take up our cross and go do something for God and stop this foolishness. Stop our mumbling and our grumbling and complain, because see, first of all, you've got a perverted mind, you've got a reprobate mind, and you're going to run into heartaches, and that's all you are, is a reprobate to every good work. The Bible said when you get a reprobate mind, you're reprobate to every good work. It doesn't matter what Brother Taylor wants to do, or Brother Pike wants to do, or Brother Jimmy wants to do, or anybody else that wants to do something for God, you are going to have another idea about it. You're going to have another way about it. You're going to have another decision about it. When you get through with your decision and your plans, what you're going to do is you're going to have it all figured up for the belly. When you get through, it's going to be all figured out for the old serpent and the belly. That's the way you're going to figure it. All right. I want to read just a little bit here, and I want to talk to you about these things. We need to do something for God. Whether you feel good or don't feel good, you go to work. On Monday morning, you go to work anyway, and you just shake it off for the belly. And whether you have it or don't have it, you get out and dig it up when they say they're going to cut your lights off, or you sit there in the dark wishing you had your lights on and stay that way until you finally get up and go about to get some money and get over the laziness. Come on, folks. You can say amen or oh me. This is right down the line. All right, so then, it's like coming to church. We don't need to come to church when we feel good, or somebody says, well, I work too hard and I got to get me extra day's rest and I need to go to sleep a little bit early and I got to do all these things and I can't be at men's meeting and I can't be at church. You don't need to come to church when you feel good and when it's convenient for you. You need to come to church, period. You need to come to men's meeting. You need to come and fellowship the brethren. Somebody said, well, I just can't get over to fellowship the brethren. My wife. I married a wife, Brother Pike. Well, you need to forget about the wife that you married and come and fellowship the saints of God, or you're going to go to hell. The Bible said that we love the brethren. We know by this that we pass from death unto life. And if you love the brethren, you're going to be around the brethren, and you're going to fellowship with the brethren, and you're going to find out what the program of the brethren is, and you're going to come and try to help that cause of God and be in there with them, or you're going to die and go to hell. You sit over there with your wife and keep passions on your mind and can't get away from her. Can't get away from her 15 minutes for nothing. And sit around there and feed your belly and her belly and let the work of God go and the fellowship of God go and the understanding of God go, and you're going to die and go to hell. Some of you here at Bethlehem are going to die and go to hell because you won't come and do anything for God. You won't come and fellowship the brethren. You don't come and listen. When you do come, you're in and out like this all the time. And you don't sit down, you don't learn nothing. I tell you what, we've got numbers of men right here and women that don't hardly know nothing about God. I mean, you don't hardly know nothing. You've been here for years and you don't hardly know nothing about God because you stayed with the wife and you stayed with the belly, stayed with the things of the world, stayed with the old carnal reasoning and had no hunger and no thirst for the things of God. And you don't hardly know nothing about God. I speak this to your shame. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, so I speak this to your shame. You don't hardly, when it comes to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't hardly know nothing about God. All right, let's read this right here. Say, what are you saying, Brother Pike? The other night I saw you folks going to sleep. I'm going to see if I can keep you from going to sleep. Listen now, this is the Son of God talking. This ain't Brother Pike now. The Bible said, not be him speaking, but God. Chapter 23, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all of their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feast, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto ye, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto ye, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you made him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Woe unto ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether it's greater, the gold or temple, that sanctifieth the gold. And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto ye, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weigh of matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto ye, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto ye, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are likened to whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautifully outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto ye, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because ye build the tombs of the prophets, and garnish the sepulchre of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our father, we would not have been partakers with him in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? For behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, the son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. All right. This goes on down into the 24th chapter of Matthew's. And here in the 24th chapter of Matthew's, it tells what will befall in the last days. We've read it to you. And I want to read it to you again, the 24th chapter. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even of the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And then he speaks of the foolish virgins and the wise virgins. Now, if you'll notice here, Jesus used the term hypocrites. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I use the terms hypocrite. I'll be preaching along and I'll say, "You hypocrite." And somebody will look at me like I've lost the anointing, you know, and like that's so cruel. And if that's not right, you know, and if I repeat it the second or third time, they really do look at me like I've lost out with God. But see, here's Jesus. He continually, in every verse, he said, "You hypocrite." And then he says, "You hypocrite." Then he says, "You hypocrite." And he says, "You hypocrite." And he says, "You hypocrite. You hypocrite. You hypocrite." He goes over and over and over and over. And in the book of Jude, he does the same thing when he speaks of all of their ungodly deeds and their ungodly ways and their ungodly manners. And he goes over and over. He tries to emphasize this so that you will know what he is saying. God wanted the Pharisees and the scribes to know that they were hypocrites. He wanted them to know that. Not only did he do that when he was preaching a sermon, but he did that individually when he met a person. Like when some of them come to him and said, "Lord, tell us such and such." He said, "You hypocrite. Why tempt thou me, you hypocrite?" he said. That was the Lord Jesus. That was a man walking this earth, facing people and telling them to their face they were a hypocrite. Like the Lord Jesus should walk in the door, come into the door, come up here and looks around and calls somebody out and says, "You hypocrite." That's the way he did it. See, that's the way he did it. He was straight. God was straight in the man called Christ Jesus. He told the thing as the world says like it was. He didn't pretty up anything. He didn't try to hurt anything. He didn't try to crush anybody. He would take his hand and lift up some helpless person, walk by a person that needed help and offer a helping hand, and tears would stream down his cheeks as he would stand out there and say, "Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how oft I would love to just take thee into my arms and love you." Tender, kind. He walked up to the tomb of Lazarus. And when he come up to the tomb of Lazarus, the Bible said he wept because he was tender. But then when he met opposition and met the devil and met the hypocrites, he would say, "You generation of vipers, you devils," he would say, "one of you is a devil. Get behind me, Satan." Speaking to Peter, speaking to anybody that got into the wrong way, and say, "Thou hypocrite, why tempt thou me?" Jesus would do it like that. And see, he would say, "You generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" he said. "You hypocrites," said, "every person that I send you, that's a prophet, that's a wise man," he said, "all of them that I send to you," he said, "you stone them, you do something to them." See, you kill their name. It's like Bethlehem here, a bunch of devils out yonder, women that half dress and half go nude out there and dress in every form and fashion except godliness. And men out there that call themselves businessmen and supposed to be celebrities of the earth, smirking and saying things against Bethlehem, one of the few things that's clean in the area. See, the devil knows out there there's a bunch of harlots and prostitutes and whoremongers. He knows that and he uses them that way. But see, we out here stand for something decent and godly and holy. And he's always conjuring up some devilish, rotten, scummy thing to say against the people of God out here and against the pastor. Because he'd love to kill my influence and kill your influence. Because he knows he's got those people. And he'd love to kill this to make this look like it was a devilish thing out here, so nobody will have any confidence in it. when our ladies walk around in the long dresses and try to act like a decent person, and when our men go around and try to act like a decent person. Somebody said, well, I don't know about that, Brother Pike. I know some of them women. I'm sure you must. I know some of them men. I know that you do. They sure ain't straight. I know that. We got some out here that's just as crooked as a snake. Some out here is like a snake in the grass, women and men both. And they're false brothers and sisters, as Paul said. They're just out here to reproach us. They're out here to do the devilish things that is ugly and evil so that somebody will say something against us. I know that. But on the other hand, we got precious sisters in God that's clean and holy and virtuous. And we got decent, godly, upright women that keep their minds on God, that's not running around after some other man or some other thing. They're looking for God. They love God. They want to be like God. They want to be holy. They don't spend their time in the hog pens of the world. And they don't spend their time gossiping and backbiting and getting down to the scummy things of the world. We've got men out here that are godly, holy, pure, upright men that struggle in their hearts and minds to be holy and clean and not to entertain ungodly, evil thoughts. They try their very best to be like Jesus. We sing the song to be like Jesus. This is a holy place. This is a godly place. This is a place dedicated to God. And all the devils and the demons, as it was in the days of Jesus, that come against this thing, they come against God. And the Bible said you do it against these people. You've done it unto God. And in the day of judgment you'll stand there as those that have done it against Christ and His kingdom. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, why are these people gathered together the way they are? Is it not against the Christ? Is it against these people that are being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus? Or is it against the Christ that they've come against? What is it? They've come against the Christ. They are not coming against Brother Pike. They're not wrestling with flesh and blood. They're not coming against you. They're coming against the Lord Jesus Christ. They do that against Jesus. They do that against Christ. That's the way they do. That's what they do. Because if it was a matter of man and woman, we'd all be like them. For the Bible speaks of fornicators and adulterers and liars and cheats. And Paul said, such were some of you, but now you're clean and you're holy and you're godly and God is saved and you're purified. You're sons and daughters of the Lord. You pass from death unto life. So then, what do we say, folks? They are trying to kill the influence of Christ. Not only at Bethlehem, but anywhere in the world today. They're trying to kill it. That's like the old Roberts things. They've never ceased to try to kill the old Roberts move while he was walking with God. And though I didn't agree when Oral left holiness to go into the Methodist Church, it displeased God. It brought the wrath of God in that direction. Though I didn't agree with him. I was displeased with it. God was displeased with him. And I understand that one of the leaders in the Church of God, T.L. Larry, called him up and said, Oral, we feel like you betrayed us. And God told me to call you, according to the report. And he said, well, God didn't tell me to talk to you. That was the report. But see, I said that to say this. They never ceased to try to kill that. Why did they do that? Because at least it was lifting up the name of Jesus. Paul said, whether for contention or otherwise, the gospel is preached. Whatever their motives is, he said, at least they're talking about Jesus. Like PTL Club. I mentioned the other night, those people painted up like clowns. But nevertheless, they were talking about Jesus. And Paul said, herein I rejoice in that the name of Jesus is brought up. And the gospel is talked about and the gospel is spread. See, the elect will get it. The rest are blinded. They'll never get it. The God of this world has blinded them. They can't see when good comes. They're after the flesh. They've got their mind on their face. They've got their mind on their bodies. They've got their mind on their dressing, on their beards, on their mustache. They've got their minds on painting their eyebrows. They've got their mind on painting their fingernails. They've got their mind on their clothing. They've got their mind on the things they want to have them on. Why? It's the world. Satan savors the thing that be of the flesh. And he's going to make you adorn that old fleshly body. He's going to make you do everything you can for it to feed the belly. Jesus said, a generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Folks, we need to do something for God. We need to wake up. We need to be stirred. I saw the vision the other night where the church was going to sleep. The Bible said at the midnight cry, all of them was asleep. And the ones I saw, all of them was about to go to sleep. And they all were going to sleep. God doesn't want you asleep. The Bible said at the midnight cry, there came a cry and the true virgins arose from that sleep and that sluggishness and shook themselves, so to speak. And they arose up and they trimmed their lamps because they had oil in their lamps. Don't you dare go to sleep. And if you do go to sleep, be sure whatever you do that you've got the oil in your lamp. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you need to get full of the Spirit of God. You need to get full of the Holy Ghost and do something for God. You need to get a vision for God. Shake yourself and come out of that thing. So then, you don't need to wait till you feel all right to do something for God. You don't need to wait until you have something to give to God. You need to make a sacrifice. You need to take up your cross. You need to get up and share what you've got with God. And you need to put Him first. Because if you don't put God first, then God frowns on your offering. Because God doesn't need your gold and silver. He doesn't need your offering. He doesn't need you. We need God. The Bible said, I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. All of the gold is mine. All of the silver is mine. If I was hungry, He said, I wouldn't ask you to feed me. That is to say, if I'm a child of God, if I'm walking with God, I don't have to ask you to feed me. For you do it unto me, you do it unto God. God will take care of me. Out of the cattle of 1,000 hills, and out of all the gold and silver that He paves His streets with, and out of the pearls that He hangs His gates with. See? When He took the children of Israel out of Egypt, how many kings, how many countries did He send to ask relief for those people that seemed to be destitute of daily need? He rained manna down from heaven. He took care of them. He didn't have to send to no nation. Today, let a nation get into problems and have to send to all the nations to get help. But God didn't send to no nation. He took His little nation and He took care of them. And folks, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. So then, what should we do, Brother Pike? Rise up in God and be about our Father's business and do something for Christ. We need to get about the Father's business. We need to do something. You know, we don't need to stagger and stumble around like a drunk man grumbling and mumbling. You know what? A busy person, I've watched this down through the years, a busy person, including myself now, a busy person that's busy for God, they don't mumble, they don't grumble, they're not always stumbling around half-hearted or whatever, they're not half in and half out, they don't stand at the door. They do something for God, folks. I mean, they're doing something for God. They're moving for God, moving in a way that will really stir people everywhere they go. They're moving for God. They got a stimulation. They got to get up and go. They're ready to do something for Christ. But a person that isn't doing something for Christ, all they do is just stumble around and stagger and mumble and grumble. This brother about that brother and this sister about that sister. And they complain against the preacher and whatever. People that love God and people that have a vision, they don't complain about the prophet of God or the preacher of God. They come and take his hand and say, hey, let me help you do that. I like what you're doing. I want to be a part of it. That's right. Like Brother Lynn said a few days back, he said, Brother Pike, he said, I'd like to be a greater part of your ministry into the world outreach for Christ. Folks, this is what God is wanting. God isn't wanting us to play some kind of game. This thing is real. I got the Holy Ghost on the inside. I don't say that you don't have it. I don't say that others don't have it. But I do say one thing, I've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. And it burns like fire down inside of me. It's not a make-believe. I don't have to get up here and try to work up something to get stimulated to scream at you. There's something on the inside of me that's motivating me, that's moving on the inside of me, that's quickening my fibers, that's telling me to do this. Whether I speak to you in a real quiet voice as to the stimulation of revelation moving on the inside of me, or whether I speak to you as to a boisterous means, in that the Bible said lifting up your voice like a trumpet to tell my people of their sins. You know, we've all got what they call potentiality. I've got a song they sing about potentiality. I'm a big bundle of potentiality. You know, we are a big bundle of potentiality for God potentiality. Isn't that right? But faith, real faith, it takes an activation, folks. It takes spiritual activation to bring faith. Anointed faith, as we wrote the track. It takes spiritual activation. That spiritual activation's got to quicken your faith or it's dead. As the body without the spirit is dead, the writer said faith without works is dead. You've got to put some works there. That spirit stimulates my blood genetics. That spirit, as long as that life, I'm talking about human life now, as long as human life is on the inside of me, it stimulates me. See, it makes you want to play ball. It makes you want to do the things of the world. Because Satan inspires it. He's the god of this world. But when you get Lucifer out and you let God inspire you and you get activated faith in God, and you begin to be stimulated by God, you won't be stimulated to buy a new car, to go out somewhere and do the things of the world and frolic around in the world and leisure around the world. When you get God on the inside of you and the Spirit of God begins to move on the inside, you'll get a stimulation, all right. That stimulation will be the activation of God and His Spirit. And you'll feel like doing something for Christ. You'll just want to get a hold of it any way you can. With your hands, with your heart, with your mind, whatever, just say, oh God, if I could just do something for you. And you're driven. You know, we got what we call potential energy. But what we need is a little kinetic energy. That is, we need to take that potentiality and we need to do a little mixture with it, you know. As they say in the world, scientifically speaking, we need to put a little bit of the Spirit of God in there and turn that potentiality into a kinetic inertia. So that like the wheels on a big train start spinning. When that water begins to turn into steam and then things begin to go chug, 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 and then they'll just spin and go chug, 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 chug like that, you know. And then wheels will just spin around in that big locomotive. You can see that big old engine jerk on that line of cars, you know, and you can hear it all the way back, rumble, rumble, rumble back as each one of them gets into place. Amen. See, we need somebody, we need some people that's going to have a little kinetic energy and get a little inertia and start moving and cause them things to come together back there. And we need a few people on the backside back here that's watching to hook the rest of them on so we can go. You know, Brother Richard's dad, he's an engineer. He was telling me when he's over here, I never heard of so many cars. He had so many cars lined up on one pull. It was just about unbelievable to me. You know, pulling out there in the desert, carrying a thing along. Sometimes you need more than one engine. See, I might get up here and chug, chug a little bit, and then Frank has to help me chug, chug some. And then Jimmy has to get up there with Frank and help chug, chug some. And, you know, sometimes you see three engines. They'll be in the front of those, all that load, because see, we're hooking on all the time. We're hooking on, and we need another engine. Every time we hook on and we get a great line of them, we need another engine. We need more power. We need to pull this load. We don't need to bog down. Glory to God. I'm not planning to bog down. I'm not looking for a day of bogging down. Somebody said, oh, you just wait and see. I've been waiting for a long time to see. And I see the same way I did when I started, and it's getting better all the time, and I'm feeling better all the time, and I want to do more all the time, and I see the world vision more all the time, and I think, glory to God, let's get the job done. Like the song we wrote one time, excuses, that won't get the job done. What we need to do is to get the job done. If you're not doing anything for God, you need to do something. Somebody said, well, what can I do, Brother Pike? So many multiplied things. Number one, what can you do? Take up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow Christ. That's the first thing that you need to do. You know, you say, what can I do? Somebody says, I can't sing. You don't have to sing. Somebody says, well, I can't play a musical instrument. You don't have to do that either. The Bible said just go out and labor that you might have to give. Not to buy. It said to give. You know, you go out and labor. In the morning, you go out and labor. And you count your pennies. And you count your bills. So that you're going to see if you can get another new car. Or another new truck. Or trade this one for something else. Or if you're going to be able to buy this or buy that. Or go rambling through the stores and spend thousands of dollars on clothes you don't need. On shoes and whatever. I've never done that since God saved me. And God always gives me plenty of nice shoes to wear. Boots, clothing, everything that I have, that I want or need or want. God adds it unto me. He gives it to me. Because I'm concerned about Him. I'm concerned about His people. I'm concerned about doing the thing that God wants to do. So then God takes care of me. God supplies all of my needs according to His riches and glory. God does that. Why? Because I'm concerned about Him and His people. See, and this is what you need to do. Get up. Be about your Father's business. Somebody said, well, God, He just don't meet my needs. I know He don't. Because every dollar you get, you use it for the belly. Every dollar you get, you greedily hoard the thing. You've got a gullible desire that you are like a greedy dog. The Bible said greedy dogs that don't never get enough. People in the world are greedy dogs. They don't never get enough. If they're a millionaire, they want to be a billionaire. If they got thousands of dollars, they want millions of dollars. If they got so much land over here, they want so much more land. Don't matter what they've got, they're greedy dogs. They'll never get enough. Have five suits hanging up here over in the pantry, and they want five more suits. Greedy dogs. They don't never get enough. They can't never share with God. So what should we do, Brother Pike? We need to do something for God. Somebody said, well, as quick as I get able, if I just had $1 million, let me tell you, I want to tell you again, the Bible said he that is faithful over a little will be faithful over much. And he that is not faithful over what he's getting, he wouldn't be faithful. If you gave him $1 million, he'd gullibly invest it, put it somewhere, spend it, or do something with it, and God wouldn't get anything out of it. See, getting a lot does not prove loyalty. Neither is God interested in how much you give. I've said that a number of times. He's interested in how much you had left when you give. If God is interested in how much you give, why did He say the little widow with her two mites gave more than all of the rich men that cast in out of their abundance? See, He said they had a lot left, and it didn't interest Him. But the widow took her living. Folks, you've got to get down into your living. If you're ever going to catch God's attention, you're going to have to do something for God and get down in your living. You can't play around the way you're playing around saying, well, I ain't got it, and if I ever get it, and I'll figure out, you know, how to get it, and one day I'll give to God. You can't do that. That's not the way God supports the gospel. Don't you know that today, that if God wanted to, He could rain manna down out of heaven, and He could cause us to discover a gold mine right here in this place? Don't you know God could do that? See, God isn't interested in that. That wouldn't be faith. If I had the money to build this church, or if I'd have had the money when I built this church, that wouldn't have glorified God. If you've got something to give, that don't glorify God. It's when you don't have it, and by faith you do it anyway, and trust God to meet your needs, and God does something special and outstanding to meet your needs. Then is when it glorifies God. It's when you're sick and you can't go, and you get up and say, by faith in God, I'm going to do it anyway. And somebody says, that boy's been sick for weeks, and look at him. That glorifies God, because that brings the invisible into view. The invisible God, the great invisible God, comes forth. Because somebody said, I know he couldn't do that by himself. That has to be the act of God. Praise God. So then God is telling you to do something. He wants you to do it daily. Let me ask you a question. How did you get to where you're at now? Man and woman of prosperity. How did you get there? I'm talking about people that try to serve God. I'm not talking about a bunch of snakes in the grass out yonder that robbed and stole and cheated and swindled and cut corners and God cut them off in the midst of their days or will cut them off in the midst of their days. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow, that makes it ride upon the high places of the earth, that feeds you with the heritage of Jacob, that gives you the desires of your heart, that makes all of your beds in the time of your sickness, that makes you like the tree that's planted by the water, that brings forth the fruit in its season, whose leaves doesn't ever wither, an evergreen tree, the tree of life. So then, I'm asking you, how did you get to where you are? You didn't have it to begin with. Wasn't it when you gave, when you didn't have it? When you sacrificed, when you didn't have it? Isn't that what caused God to raise you up? Isn't that what made God bless you? The Bible said, you're not to go down to Egypt for your help. You're not to lean on the arm of flesh. Isn't that what God is saying? You didn't have anything and God raised you up. And then all of a sudden, you've got to have a good name and you've got to have cards and you've got to have this and you've got to work and be enslaved as paying tribute to Caesar. You've got to be enslaved to the things of the world to try to keep a good name with this man when you didn't even have a name. Come on, folks. I said you didn't even have a name at the bank. They'd have spit in your face, so to speak. You didn't have no name. You couldn't get nothing. You know you couldn't. But because you turned to God. See, the Bible said Jesus sought to make of himself no reputation. Isn't that right? He didn't seek to make himself a name. He sought God and God made him a name. Did David seek to make himself a name? Wasn't the rest of them out there showing themselves? Out there and didn't even have enough courage to fight in the battle when the giant began to holler at him? Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, you got to be David. You got to be specially anointed to face that giant. I agree with that, yea and nay. If you just have to be David, why was it when David grew old and had lost his strength and the giant close by would have killed him and one of David's warriors came up, plucked his sword out of his hand and killed him? See, one of David's men that was inspired by God, mighty and great like David was. Men, such men as I spoke of, where one walked by and saw a lion down in a pit and jumped down in the pit with him and faced him and killed him right there in the pit. Great, mighty men of God. See, David on the hillside, he wasn't seeking a name. He was over there trying to do something for God. But when God raised him up, God said, David, I took you from among the sheepcote. I'm the one, David, that gave you a name like unto the great men of the earth. Who was it, David, that took you from off of the hillside? Who was it that gave you the courage, David, to face the lion and the bear? Who was it, David, that put you out there and made Goliath take a bow to you with your little slingshot so that men would praise you, David? Who was it that caused you to run through a troop and leap over a wall where men would sing your praises, singing the songs, running through a troop, leaping over a wall, killing tens of thousands? Who was it? You know David didn't kill tens of thousands like that. But what it was, the army that David led. The army that David led. He led an army so great that tens of thousands were slain as David and his army moved through. So then God tells you and God tells me to do something. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's give God a hand. We need to rise up like David did. Hallelujah. And put our faith and courage in God. Forget about the things of the world. Stop leaning on the arm of flesh. And go out there and say, glory to God. I don't have to have nothing but a little slingshot and a stone. And I can do more than that fellow that's got $1 billion over yonder. Step out and do something with your talent. Step out and do something with your life. Forget about that thing that you're doing you call a career. Forget about this world. You know, it doesn't matter what you accomplish in this world, folks. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter what you accomplish in this world. You're going to lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall gain it unto immortality. He that saves his life in this world to have a career shall lose it in the world to come. So then when you think about these things, you say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm talking about you seeking the things of the world and just about time you obtain the position that you want, then you die. You grow old, you do those things, they put you in a hole and that's the end of it. But folks, not with God. We just go from good to better. You know, with God, there's no such thing as that. There just ain't no such thing as that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I said, with God, there is no such thing as that. God takes us from mountaintop to mountaintop. Hallelujah. He renews our youth. He renews like the eagle. You know, the eagle throws up the wings and renews the youth. Children of God do that. The Bible said they that wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength in God. They renew their youth in God. They don't never grow old. They don't never die. There's no such thing. No such thing as that. Oh, somebody said, but I know, Brother Pike, your hair and his hair and their hair and our hair will get gray like all the rest. The Bible said the Ancient of Days' hair was white as wool. That didn't have nothing to do with it, the color of your hair. What's that got to do with it? The thing that we remember is God is on our side. Hallelujah. I said God is on our side. God is with us. God gives us the power. God gives us the glory. God gives us the power to get wealth. I feel good. Don't you feel good? The brothers sing, I feel good, good, good. Hallelujah. You should feel good. There's none good but God, and you got God. You ought to feel good. Hallelujah. Somebody said, whoa, it's me. Brother, I ain't good enough. Brother Pike, I'm cast down. Brother Pike, I can't make it. Whoa, it's me, Brother Pike. David didn't do that. David had been as wretched as he could be. But he repented of his sins. He called on the name of the Lord. And he said, Lord, I'm holy. Oh, somebody said, I wouldn't dare think like that. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands. You want to see some holy hands? Lift up holy hands. Bound to be somebody holy somewhere. If the blood of bulls and goats could prevail for David to say, I'm holy, how much more can the blood of Jesus Christ prevail for us to say, I'm without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, that he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not? David said, I'm holy. See, how in the name of reasoning are you ever going to do anything for God? He said, I'm so unholy. I'm so cast down. Brother Pike, I'm just ain't no good. Brother Pike, you know, how in the world you're ever going to have faith like that? It's true that we should have humility. It's true that in his presence we should be as nothing. It's true that we should melt as the cattle. But brethren, let me tell you something. When we meet the devil, we should stand there as bold as a lion, as righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ, and saying, Satan, we are going to do the job for God, and you ain't never touched me. And you know what? You ain't never going to touch me. Hallelujah. You say, where do you get that? The Bible said he touched him not. And the Bible said, as Christ is, so are we. And Jesus said, he hath no part in me. And we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. As he is, so are we. He ain't ever touched me. He ain't ever going to touch me. I said, Satan ain't never touched me. He ain't never going to touch me. He ain't never touched me. And he ain't going to touch me. Because God said he sealed me until the day of redemption. And I'm filled by the Holy Spirit, and he can't even get close to the light. Did you know darkness can't get close to light? Because it ain't darkness no more. That's right. Light does away with darkness. Did you know that sons of God, did you know that Satan can't even get near a son of God? Now, I know you can get a little smut on the globe, this whole outside thing, if you don't keep it watched off. You can get a little smut on the globe, but I'm talking about you, the inner man. Did you know he can't get near you? And if you'll wash the smut off the globe, your light will shine so that men will see your good works and you'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. The time has come to let your light shine. Folks, it really has come to get the smut off of your globe. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? That old smutty intellectual reasoning of darkness. Get it out of you. Get it out of you. And stand up for God and do something for God. Well, hallelujah. Songwriter said, feeling so much better. Let us go on talking about this good old way. Let's all stand together. Let us go on talking about this good old way. Let us go on talking about the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's be up and be about our Father's business and get the job done for Jesus. Jesus said, why be ye of a doubtful mind? Why do you doubt? Why do you doubt that your children are going to be all right, that your wife's going to be all right, that your health is going to be all right, that your finance is going to be all right? Why do you doubt that God loves you? Why do you doubt that you've got eternal security? Jesus said, don't be of a doubtful mind. Have faith in God, Jesus said. We're going to sing that song, Have Faith in God. Let's sing that together. Have faith faith in God. Can you sing it with me? Oh, have faith in God. Let's have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Sing it again. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for salvation. Have faith in God. Do you have faith in God? Jesus said, have faith in God. Don't doubt, just believe. You know, I have to preach to you. I have to preach to you like an evangelist to get you awake. I'm supposed to preach like that under the tent. I'm supposed to teach you. I'm supposed to tutor you. But I have to preach to you like you're sinners, like you're backslid, to get your attention, like a wood on the field. Sing that again, can you? Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God for salvation. Have faith in God. God, sing it with me now. Let's have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. The altars are open. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. And it's good. Sing it with me, folks. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that. Religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying. And it's good just going to sleep now. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. For it was good for my mother and my father. It was good for my mother and my father. It was good for my mother and my father. And it's good. Sing it with me now. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old
old time religion. It's good. Sing it again now. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Sing it with me, folks. Sing it again. Give me that old time. Sing it like you mean it. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and sing it. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Oh, it's good. Sing it again. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Can you sing it one more time? I want the old time religion. I want the old time religion. I want the old time. Hallelujah! Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good. Sing it one more time. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for... One more time, sing like this. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Oh, hallelujah, it's good enough. Can you say hallelujah? Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good. One more time now. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old. Can you praise the Lord? Can you lift up your hands and praise God? Can you say hallelujah? I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now I say you make too much noise, Brother Pine. The Bible said lift up your voice like a trumpet. Hallelujah. Praise is comely for the upright. Sing that song. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. One more time and we'll change it. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good. Hallelujah! Makes me sing when I get... And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Oh, it's good enough. Sing it again. We're going to stop after a while. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Oh, it's good enough for me. Sing it again. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. For sing it one more time. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love my enemies. Love my enemies. Do good to them and despitefully use it. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Hallelujah! Somebody say hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Oh, it's good enough. Lift your hands up and praise the Lord. You know what, folks? We don't want to go to sleep at Bethlehem. If you don't want to go to sleep at Bethlehem, you say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say praise the Lord. Glory to God. Don't let me look out there and see an audience going to sleep. Glory to God. We're supposed to be evangelizing the world. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We want to love the Lord. Don't we want to love the Lord? We want to love the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus. We're going to go home in a few minutes. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy. Somebody say praise the Lord. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy. Can you sing it again with me? We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy. Somebody say hallelujah. I still feel the presence of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Praise God. God wants to bless us, folks. He wants to wake us up. The other night he showed me that I wasn't stirring you enough. And for God's sake, Lord, help me to stir you if that's what it's all about. You know, I thought maybe I'd preach evangelistic out on the field and you folks would grow in this great, wonderful knowledge of Almighty God. But you know, whatever it is, well, that's what it's got to be. See, I want the revelation. I want the deepness of God. But I also want to stay alive. I don't want to die. You know, this thing, when I get the revelation, it makes me alive. It don't make me die. The only thing I know that could make you die is to turn this thing into an intellectual knowledge. And of course, you die. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Let's give God another hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. They may not have a spark nowhere else, but we got a spark at Bethlehem. Glory to God. We got a lamp burning. We want to trim our wicks. You that's got spirit. You that's got the all of God. We've got something at Bethlehem. We might sit on the bench at some time, but that don't mean we ain't got nothing. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. We got a spark. We not only got a spark, but we got a flame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That can burn throughout the world. Somebody say hallelujah. Don't you feel better? Don't you feel better? Don't you feel better? Say hallelujah. Glory to God. Say hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't you feel better? Amen. I feel better. I feel better. Hallelujah. Let's take a real calm repose now. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing like this then. For we have anchored our souls in God's heaven. I'll rest and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. Sing it again. For I have anchored my soul in God's heaven. I'll rest and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe. Somebody say hallelujah. Can't you say hallelujah? Ain't there hallelujah on the inside of you? Ain't there praise to God on the inside of you? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you got the oil on the inside? Hallelujah. All the virgins are going to sleep now. They're fixing to go to sleep. All around they're going to sleep. Ain't a spark. Everything's going out. We said and all the lights would go out. Have you got the oil before you go to sleep? Have you got the oil? Everything's going to sleep. My, we need to wake up for God. Hallelujah. We need to wake up for God. Glory to God. We need to wake up for God. Going to wake up with the dawning. Hallelujah. What a beautiful, beautiful dawning this is. We need to wake up for God. How do you believe we ought to wake up for God? How many of you are going to do something for God? Folks, I'm talking about doing something for God. I mean getting down to business and doing something for God. Shaking yourself and getting all that old lethargy and unconcern out. And get in here and let's do something for God. Can we do that? We're going to sing this song. And we're going to try to dismiss you. Sing it together. Give me another key, friend. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land. And time shall be. Sing it again. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land. And time shall be. If you believe that, sing it one more time with it. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land. And time shall be. While they're playing on the musical instruments now, raise your hands with me, close your eyes. If you love Jesus, if you love Jesus, think on these things, folks. It's so good to be alive from the dead. I don't like being dead, do you? They that live in trespasses and sins and live in pleasure, they're dead.
Come out from among the dead. Get out of the tombs. Don't be out there with them folks. Don't do the things they do. They're among the dead. But it's so good to be alive. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. I look at little Tabitha here, meaning resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Said, you can't get to the Father but by me. You can't come to the Spirit except through the name. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus wants us to be filled with the Spirit. Repent, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children, and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. While we're standing here praising the Lord, loving the Lord Jesus, let's just close our eyes. I'm going to ask Brother McManus to come up and dismiss us, if he will. And while you're standing here praising the Lord, lifting your hands up, let's love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Just before he comes, I want you to close your eyes, lift your hands up. We're going to sing this little chorus, and then we're going to let him dismiss us.
Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come in. To my heart, Lord Jesus, just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Can you sing it again with me?
Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Lord Jesus, just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord.